O'clock and time for Barbara Wells, who gives complete coverage of the day's news for women every weekday, Monday through Friday. She has a different way of doing things, and her sparkle and spontaneity make listening, well, a must. Hi, Barbara.
Hello, George, and hello, everybody. Here in the studio today to make a transcription with us is Robert Walker, the very famous Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer star, who you all saw very recently in Sea of Grass, and who you will see in the very near future in Song of Love. And Bob has come up to have a chat with us a little bit later on when we get around to him. And, you know, I think it's a nice thing that Bob Walker did come up today, George, because Sunday is Father's Day.
Oh, that's right. And he has several children, doesn't he?
He has two very, very good-looking and bright young boys.
And he's an outstanding actor fella.
Well, I think it's pretty good to not only be an outstanding actor fella, as you put it, but also to be an outstanding father.
Yes, that's right.
And I think, personally, that there are a lot of outstanding fathers in this world, and I think that they're a little bit neglected. Now, Sunday is the day set aside for them, and I think that even this Sunday, when it is supposed to be their special day, some of us have maybe let it slip our minds and haven't gotten a card or a necktie or a posy or something to give Father on Sunday.
Yeah, Potter needs a little posy.
I think that Potter needs a little more than that, George. I think a posy's a wonderful idea. I think merely the thought of letting him sit around and read the papers first before you or the children rumple them up, or maybe bringing him his slippers, or telling him something that if you've been married to him for a while, perhaps you haven't told him, and that is, my, you look attractive, or listening to him talk, or laughing at his jokes, or any of the little things that in the hurry and the rush of every day, you sometimes forget to stop and make time for.
That's a wonderful suggestion, Barbara, and I certainly think you are to be commended on bringing it forth.
Well, the fathers are very conscious of being fathers, George. Warren Austin, who is the American delegate to the United Nations Security Council, was named Father of the Year by the National Father's Day Committee. And he was outlining the new responsibilities of fathers yesterday when I happened to see something that he had said. And Mr. Austin said the privileges of fatherhood have inspired men since the beginning of time. But the fathers of today are challenged to greater endeavor. Their privileges and duties extend beyond the family, beyond personal attachments of blood, community, and race to the world. And I think that's a very true statement that Mr. Austin made. It certainly shows that he is one of the fathers of the year when he is thinking not only of his own, but of others beside himself.
I'm glad this day has caught on. I remember back in 1928 or 29 when I first started it. And it gradually has now become almost, but not quite, as big as Mother's Day.
That's true. It hasn't reached quite the proportions that Mother's Day has, but it's fast becoming that way. And I think that just a little bit of extra thought on this Sunday, June 15th, for the man that pays your bills, brings the food in the house, brought you into the world, helped bring you into the world, and has your, you know, your health and your happiness on his mind constantly, would make him very happy.
Well, I'm unfortunate in that I lost my father last year, but I always, on Father's Day, tried to remember him in some little way. And he was very grateful for it.
Well, I think they all are, no matter what. Everybody likes special attention. And so we will do what we can this Sunday, June 15th. Some people did something wonderful for them yesterday that I think is very cute. One thing that I've always noticed is that fathers buy for their children, their boys particularly, the first thing they buy is an electric train. And then the poor little child has no time to play with the electric train because the father is out there doing it all himself. A friend of mine named Joseph Meehan has a beautiful set of electric trains, and his children have a terrible time trying to get near it and work it. But yesterday, George, and I thought this is very amusing, the Lionel Electric Train Company put on its annual pre-Father's Day party, and they gave a party that they called a Kid's Jubilee for grown-ups. And they wouldn't let any of the children in. They just had all of their wonderful trains set aside and let all of the fathers come in and play with the trains as long as they wanted to, from 10 a.m. until 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And they gave the fathers lollipops and ice cream and even door prizes to take home. So I thought it was kind of cute that the electric train people actually realized that children have a lot of trouble playing with trains because fathers love them.
Well, Pop was guaranteed some fun anyway.
Well, here's a little more fun that they're guaranteed, and I think this is quite novel. A cake that is being put on sale for Father's Day, And it's made like a straw hat. You know the old-fashioned, they aren't really old-fashioned, except men don't wear them as much anymore, straw skimmers that they used to wear, and they put their college bands around or their local outing club or whatever it was that they had.
I saw that on display in one of the stores.
Yes, the A&P supermarkets are carrying it. Only the A&Ps where Jane Parker has the bakery department. But it's a beautiful two-layer cake filled with currant raspberry jelly, apple raspberry jelly to be exact. And I think it's quite, and they have "To Dad" written across the top of it. And I was amazed because you look as if you could pick it up and put it on your head and wear it instead of picking it up and eating it.
So if you can't buy Dad a Lionel train, you can at least buy him a skimmer.
Well, the main thing to do is think about him. Think about him and make him feel very extra special. How do you feel about this weather lately?
Well, I think it's a little bit warm in spots.
Well, it's certainly...
One day, especially last week, that is the early part of this week.
Mm-hmm. Wednesday, it was 86 degrees, the hottest day of the year so far. Thursday was even hotter, but a cheerful thought, and I love cheerful thoughts in hot weather. As I'm mopping my brow, I have to carry about a half a box of tissues in my pocket so that I can mop my brow. Here is the cheerful thought. It was 28 degrees in Bend, Oregon, and snow fell in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And speaking of snow, here's a startling new invention. We can't use it right now, but we can think about it. Have you ever heard of a ski snowshoe?
A ski snowshoe?
Well, it's a new...
Has a ski on it or something?
No. It's a ski with a snowshoe, and it's a new combination that permits the snow traveler. It's so nice to sit here when it's hot and think about snow.
Isn't it wonderful?
Psychologically, it just cools you off. You can feel the beads of perspiration turning into little icicles. Well, anyway, the ski snowshoe is a combination that permits the snow traveler to walk over the surface of deep, heavy snowfields and to coast ski fashion when he comes to a good downhill slope. All you do to change the snowshoe into a ski is to raise the longitudinal halves that are attached by hinges, and away you go.
Longitudinal halves.
Well, in other words, you're on a ski, and it has two halves on either side, you know, those net affairs, so that you can walk, and it's a snowshoe. And what you do is lift them up, and they stand up straight alongside the ski when you want to ski. So then all you are is on one of the boards, as they say, as skiers say.
Very handy little things.
I think the funny part about the ski snowshoe is that it's a brainchild of a Mr. Arsenault who lives in Mexico, Maine. I think it's a strange name, Mexico, Maine, the combination. Bob Walker, who is going to tell us a few things, as I said a little bit later on, just came back from Mexico. So maybe he'll use some of his new Spanish on it.
Break it in, huh?
And there's something else to cool us off. I'm trying so hard to cool everybody off today. A portable ice box. Now, I think that's pretty clever. It's an efficient, easily portable container for ice storage of fish and game, and it's provided for sportsmen by the Pail Master. And actually, all it is, George, is a fiberglass insulated plastic lining designed to be used inside the familiar 10-quart galvanized pail. And they tested the high efficiency of the Pail Master by placing 150 ice cubes in the closed unit for 15 hours at room temperature of 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And at the conclusion of the test, all the ice cubes are still large enough to use in preparation of cold drinks.
I think you're wonderful bringing us these cool thoughts on an afternoon in June.
With just what you need for this weather, all I need is a pocketbook on one arm filled with those tissues, a portable ice box on the other, Bob Walker on the other, take out an ice cube every few minutes and run it over the back of my neck to try and cool myself off.
And don't forget, where's that Tootsie Fudge?
Well, George, I was just getting to that. I can't ignore Tootsie Fudge. After all, we love Tootsie Fudge, and so do all our listeners. I may need an ice box to keep cool, but Tootsie Fudge certainly doesn't. Here is the fudge that cools itself. You don't have to put it in the refrigerator. It cools itself. You stir it for 4 minutes only. You don't have to add any sugar. It has its own sugar in it. All you add is butter or margarine and some water. If you follow the directions on the package, you will be sure of getting one of the creamiest, softest, most chocolatey fudges, luscious, delicious fudge that you could possibly eat. And if you want to, with these summer nights coming on where people drop in unexpectedly and you want to have something that is extra special, all you have to do is drop some pecans or almonds in it, which makes a very nice nut fudge, or chop up marshmallows and drop them in it. And then I think peppermint flavor is cooling on warm summer nights. And if you drop a few drops of peppermint in it, you will come out with a peppermint chocolate fudge.
Yet I have never heard anyone sell candy like you do. I feel like it's right out there in front of me, and I'm ready to pop a nice, juicy piece down my esophagus.
Well,
you'll pardon that word?
It's a lovely word, George. You know, before I knew about Tootsie Fudge, I had a sweet tooth. And now that I've discovered Tootsie Fudge Mix, I have every tooth in my head is sweet. It's turned into a sweet tooth. I just can't get along without it. So it's spelled Tootsie, T-O-O-T-S-I-E, and it's made by the Sweet Company of America.
Who also make Tootsie Rolls.
Yes.
Say, Florence, a little while ago you were talking about the hot weather and complaining just a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a little bit of inspiration which I'd like to bring you today, which might dispel any thoughts of, well, maybe dark thoughts, shall we say?
Well, I think that's wonderful, George. I think in this world today, everybody needs a little bit of inspiration.
This is a lovely bit written by one Marion Doolin, and she calls it, Help Me to Forget This Hurt. Do you want to hear it?
I wish you would.
It happened last week. A friend of mine gave me a raw deal. She let me down hard. For one whole shocked day, I thought about it. I thought of the things that she had said. I thought of the look in her eyes as they slid from mine. I don't think I ever want to see her again, I told myself. And at the end of the day, in my hour of prayer, I cried. Please, God, let this friendship stay broken. I don't want it mended ever. But the good God has ways of his own. And my prayer changed to, help me to forget this hurt. And forgetting came. It came through remembering. And through remembering came peace. Back through the years, I went in memory. I remembered my friend as she had been when I had first known her. I remembered the good, simple, kindly things that she had done. I remembered the summer day that she had come to my door, hot and tired, lugging a half dozen cans of pineapple juice. And she said, because I knew you couldn't get out to get it, and it would have been all gone. And the time when I had been so ill and she had said shyly, I prayed for you. I kept remembering and remembering all the lovely little highlights of our years of friendship. And lastly, I thought back to something my grandmother had once said. Mine dear, we're all human. We all fail sometime or other. Love God. I don't blank too greatly, I don't bank too greatly on anyone else. And so remembering, I closed the door of my heart on the bitterness of the day, and I turned on my pillow and I slept.
That's perfectly beautiful, George.
Isn't it?
It's
rather consoling.
I'm so glad that you read it to us because I think it's terribly important that people don't jump to conclusions in these days when, as you say, someone quickly, for some reason, might do something to hurt you. My mother has always said to me, wait and find out the real story before you start to be angry or hurt, because she said people always have a reason for whatever they do.
So to keep a ledger, is that right?
Exactly.
And balance the budget, we might say, on
mm-hmm.
each person before
mm-hmm.
you sort of give out any thoughts of, one way or the other, unless they're good thoughts.
Yes, and the thing that's important to remember, George, is after all, you yourself aren't perfect. So why should you condemn other people who, through carelessness, make a little mistake when you are probably going to make the same mistake yourself someday, and when you do make the same mistake, you will hope that other people will be kind in judgment of you.
We can bring up that old statement. People who live in glass houses should never throw stones.
They shouldn't even throw pebbles.
And I think we, most of us live in glass houses, don't you think so?
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see in a lot of them these days. It's a rather touchy situation because people have things on their mind. They're busy. They're worried about the world. They're insecure within themselves as to just how long we're going to have a peace. And I think if we took that all together and believed it, that we would get peace at home and abroad.
That's a fine commentary. Very, very good.
Thank you. As I said earlier, for those who've tuned in late, our guest today is Robert Walker, the very famous MGM star who we saw recently in Sea of Grass and who we will see next in a wonderful new movie made by MGM called Song of Love. Now, Bob, how are you today, and what are you going to do on Father's Day?
Well, I'm fine, Paul. You tricked me on that one. I didn't know that was coming. Father's Day. Father's Day, that's Sunday, isn't
that's
it?
That's Sunday. We've been talking a lot about it.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm going to be here on Father's Day, and my I have two children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were going to ask me that. I'm way ahead of you.
Yeah.
I have two children on the coast,
mm-hmm.
and, gee, I didn't realize until just now that I wouldn't be there. on Father's Day.
Well, I know.
It's a little sad, isn't it?
It is, because they won't be able... Well, maybe they'll send your presents.
I'll call them. I'll talk to them on the phone.
And maybe they'll send whatever they're going to send you here.
I know what they're going to send me.
What are they going to send you?
They wrote me little stories.
Oh,
you
they...
see, they're in... Michael is 6, and he's in the first grade.
Uh-huh.
Bobby is 7, and he's in the second grade. Lower second. And they've written me some little stories, you see?
Well, don't you think that's wonderful?
I do.
I do, too.
I think anybody who can write a little story, especially two boys as young as that... Because I've seen, George, I'm lucky. I've seen Bob's two boys in California.
Thank you.
One time when I was interviewing him for a story. And they're the best-looking little boys I've ever seen. And quite different in personality, don't you think?
Yes, they are. They certainly are.
Are they handsome like Bob?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, they look exactly like him. One day they drove up
They do not. They look like the mother.
Well, they look very much like you. They have your...
Bob Michael has my nose.
Yes.
A big nose.
No, it's not big. It's a pug nose. No.
I wouldn't say you have a big nose.
Thank you, George. Oh, I'm so happy I'm on this program. They make me feel so good.
No. Well, tell us some more about Michael and Bobby, because I didn't have too much time to see them. But you tell us about what they're
well,
like.
Well, it's really... they're just two ordinary kids, Flo. There's really, you know, I never know what to say about the kids because they're just very ordinary, you know.
Well,
they're full of life. They're little devils.
Yes.
Oh, they really are.
Well,
which I like. I encourage it. But, well, Michael's catching up with him now.
Oh, yes.
Giving him a fast run.
You know, I think, in pictures, I think you, well, you don't overact anything, and I like you for that.
But I do act.
Oh, very, very well. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. But I think that's the way you're playing your children, sort of.
Yes, well, I must say. Well, he's trying to be a modest father.
That's it. Well, where's Barbara?
Where's Barbara?
Well, I heard this show a couple of times, and there's Barbara, somebody on the show. Barbara Wells?
That's
she never gets a chance to say it. She's under the table with a tipsy, huh? The tipsy fudge.
That's a very funny question. I'm Barbara.
Oh, you're Barbara.
Yes,
oh,
I'm Barbara.
Who's Flo?
Let me formally.
I'm Flo too.
Let me formally introduce you, Miss Wells, Mr. Walker.
How do you do, Mr. Walker? It's so nice to know you. Well, I'm playing a dual personality.
I always thought you were schizophrenic.
Oh, that sounds like a very rude remark.
What does that mean? Schizophrenic. I heard that.
It means a split personality.
That's it.
I should think you'd know. All Hollywood has been making nothing but movies about people with psychological complexes, and a few of them have been. Schizophrenia.
True.
I will mumble that
word. Some good ones.
Yeah, when are you going to do one?
I've been doing them ever since I've been in pictures.
No, well, tell me. I don't think you have at all. You're being much too modest. One thing I'd like to know about you boys, you say they're two normal children.
Yes,
which they are. Are you impressed by having are they impressed by having a movie star for a father?
No.
Do they like your movies?
They've only seen one, Hargrove, which was a good one for them to see. They liked it, yes. They couldn't get over it. You know, they thought they expected me to talk back to them. They talked to me on the screen.
Oh, no.
And they'd say, oh, Daddy fell in a big puddle. Did you get wet, Daddy? And I never answered. And I could never get over that, you know? We had a scene in Hargrove, if you remember, years ago, where we all got caught in the water. Fell in the water. And they loved that.
Oh, they did.
They loved that. But they couldn't understand why I didn't get cold or catch a cold and why I didn't talk back to them and answer them, you know. They talked to me right in the theater.
Oh, I think that's wonderful.
Bothered all the people around them.
Oh, I don't think it did. I imagine the people around them enjoyed it. Do you try to keep them away from the hullabaloo of Hollywood?
Yes. Oh, yes. We live way out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Way out.
Well, where do you live?
Malibu.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why do you live down there?
Because we like the ocean.
Of course, you've told me...
And it's quiet.
A lot of times why you like the ocean. Well, it's quite
far
out.
Well, it's healthy, Flo. It's very healthy.
Well, I wonder, because I was there... Let's see, it was back in January, and it seemed to me to be a little cold and a little damp down there.
Well, you just have to get used to it. A lot of people go in the water year-round
Do you?
No.
You don't like swimming
very
much,
anyway. Why do you ask me
embarrassing
questions?
Well, just because I like to ask those kind of questions. No, well, all right, we won't talk any more about your boys. They're wonderful boys. Bob, how do you feel about Hollywood? Now, you live down at the beach, but how does it feel to be a young man about...
Well, I think it takes pardon me?
A young man about town.
You want to do all the talking. I can't even answer. You have the longest question.
No, just go on and talk. I'll keep
quiet. Can I say something?
Yes.
Thank you. About Hollywood, I think it takes a little while to get yourself adjusted, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But once you do, you can have a very happy and wonderful life there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you have to sort of establish your your ties and your friends outside of the business.
Why?
Well, because otherwise you wear yourself out talking about business all the time with friends who are actors or directors.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me? I can hardly talk.
No.
Who are actors and directors and so forth, you know, and invariably when you get together, you talk business.
Well, I noticed that in the trips I made out there, that they talk so much about motion pictures and the next one and the latest book that's been bought by Paramount, and it does get a little dull. Yeah. But you're lucky if you... I imagine it would, especially if you're in the business. Of course, for someone like me, it's rather fun because you don't get the opportunity very much.
You don't?
But tell me, to go back to that...
what a liar.
To go back to that subject, how does it feel to be a young man about town? Now, you've told us about Hollywood.
You mean here in New York?
No, I mean out in Hollywood, too.
Oh.
Or in New York.
Well, I feel sort of a young man about town here because I'm here so seldom, and people here are not quite as used to actors as we are out there. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing to people out there. But here they like to show their friendship, you know, and they ask me for your autograph, and they say we liked you, if they did.
Mm-hmm.
They liked you in your last picture, and we appreciate it. We like it very much.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. I've always said everybody was annoyed by the fans. Morton Downey and I had a big discussion about it.
Yes, I heard that. I didn't agree with him in part.
You didn't?
Because there are a certain a little group here, a minority, very...
Mm-hmm.
Much a minority of the fans who are not really fans. They're you know, they just, I don't know what they do.
Professional autographs.
Professional. I don't know what they do with them.
Well, as a matter of fact, I know the ones you mean. I see them standing outside of theaters at 11:30 at night, kids that should be home and be in bed and going to school.
That's right.
Or you see them early, 10 o'clock in the morning, outside of the Waldorf.
The same ones.
The same kids.
They never sleep.
And
it worries you, you know. You feel very sorry for them.
Mm-hmm.
But they seem to be able to take care of themselves. But, you know, it's a good way of finding out how popular they are. It's a good Gallup poll.
It is.
You know, well, it is because they trade their autographs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And mine, I'm getting up in the world now because it only takes, six of mine now to one of Van Johnson's on the trade. Used to be 12 to one. I'm getting up there.
Well, you know, I don't know right now. They aren't very fond of Van right now here in New York,
I don't think.
At least they're a little upset. He hasn't had too many good pictures lately. And he hasn't been to New York either, and I think it does help when
he's been very busy.
He has been.
Oh, one right after the other.
Well, now tell me, getting back to pictures.
He's also married now, you know.
I know that. To Evie Wynn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy.
Well, I haven't seen them since they were married. I know he wanted
to
get married, but we don't want to talk about Van Johnson.
Oh, that's right. Well,
we want to talk
about
you, Robert Walker.
Good.
Not Van Johnson. You're much more my
favorite
actor than Van Johnson.
You can't get a word in here.
I'm here to listen to you.
Oh.
Well, now
you're
tell
on the spot.
Now, yes, he is, isn't he? Well, he's accused me of talking too much, and I want to leave him on the spot so he can do all the talking. Who is your favorite actress?
Favorite actress? Oh, I have lots of them. I like Deborah Carr, Judy Garland, several.
Well, you're sort of versatile in your take.
Yes.
How about Katharine Hepburn? You did
I think
Song
she's
of
wonderful.
Love is with her.
I just finished that one. I think she's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Full of life, and she really works well.
Yeah.
Which is a little unusual.
Mm-hmm.
She really works.
Back here, we hear that she's a little difficult. And a little high-toned.
I think anybody with as much talent as Katharine has, you know, they're misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel that, as you say... now, don't... Just because you were on radio...
No,
and
I can't
start
imagine
radio.
Doing this. You're so wonderful on this show.
Now, Bob, we're talking about you, not about me, either name that I have. You did a violent change, a switch, when you switched from Hargrove to the cowboy, Desperado, in Sea of Grass.
Yes, yes.
Which type role do you like best?
Well, I liked Hargrove very much. The first Hargrove was quite... I liked it very much. And Sea of Grass I like, too, because that's entirely different.
Mm-hmm. Well,
know?
It is.
Very,
Are you going to go on having different ones? Different tastes?
I hope so.
And I not go... So. I know that you don't want to go back to a Hargrove type role, do
no.
you?
Well, you see that there are personalities, the personality type of actor, then is the actor who is an actor, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm of that class. So mm-hmm. I like to do all sorts of parts.
Mm-hmm. Well, you do them
it
all
feels
and do
good.
Them very well. Each one is sort of different.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh,
just
welcome.
Came back from Mexico City.
Yes.
I've got to show off my Spanish.
Can you say any more?
See.
Can you say I love you in Spanish?
You know, I didn't learn that.
Oh, what a shame. We had a man on who said I love you in Japanese.
Really?
One day to me, and I thought it was
funny. Downing?
No. No. Well, no. Tell us, do you actors and actresses in Hollywood figure on a motion picture career as a lifelong career. No bank, bank people
no,
going to bank.
No, I don't think so, George. But I have a glass of water.
Positively, coming up.
You know, doing this, I got so tight. No, Flo. I think we're all very grateful for the opportunity out there, but we all want to do theater. You know, and especially coming to New York like this, as I had to come to do this show on Sunday night.
The theater guild.
We get very restless, you know. We see these wonderful shows back here, and we want to come back and do them, but schedules at the studio are so tight.
Mm-hmm.
Am I talking too much?
No.
Oh.
We want to hear you.
Well, schedules at the studio are so tight that we can never get away for long enough to do a show, which an actor needs very much.
Yeah.
You know, very much.
Well, you get a feel of an audience.
Yeah.
Well, out there, in the middle of all of these tight schedules, you do get an opportunity, Bob, to observe all of the famous women of the world, practically, and all the most famous beauties.
Yes.
And I must say, you do observe them closely.
What do you mean by that?
What qualities are the...
You know, you're so catty.
Yes, no. No, I'm not.
No,
I'm a
I didn't
sweet,
mean that.
Agreeable girl.
I
now,
didn't mean that.
What qualities are the most attractive to men?
About a woman?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you've got me on the spot now.
Not a very bad
different.
Spot, a nice spot.
Well, I think a man appreciates... a certain amount of chic. Not any tremendous good looks or anything, but a wonderful personality, a solid, good personality. Good dresses. A certain amount of sweetness.
Doesn't want much, just about everything.
Just about everything.
Just about everything. How about girls who have careers? Do you like girls who have careers?
Yes, not to marry, but to know.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, why not to marry?
Oh, I'm not as spot here. Why not to marry? Well,
no, well
I don't
so
know.
Many
I think
say
I think,
that, and that's why I wonder.
I think being a wife and a mother is just that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a tremendous job.
Well, I think in this country, particularly, Bob, at this
two
point, too many girls are concentrated on trying to combine the both.
Yes.
And you either must have a career or you must...
Well, I think it takes an awfully remarkable woman to do it.
To combine all three
and
of them.
And they're very few, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it takes an awful lot out of a woman if she does give a lot to her family. You know?
Yeah.
And she can't do two things at once.
No, that's true. I think marriage as a career in itself needs a publicity agent in this country. Too many young girls are thinking that they have to have jobs, you know, along with a husband and a home and a wife. And you say it does take a remarkable woman. Well, you're here to do the... Theater Guild show. How long are you going to be in New York?
Leaving Monday forenoon.
Well, I think you're wonderful to squeeze my show in your schedule.
Yes, are we almost off?
We're almost off.
Yeah.
I certainly thank you very much, Bob, for coming
well,
up
you,
and making this transcription with us.
Thank you, and best of luck on your show. God bless you.
Thank you. We will all go out and see Thorn of Love the minute it comes to New York.
Buy lots of
and
tickets.
And cheer for Robert Walker, who came on our show.
All right.
And our guest on Monday, George... Did you know who our guests on Monday are?
No, but I'd certainly like to know.
Our contest winner and Mrs. Parker Spahr of Plainfield, New Jersey, and Sally Victor, the very famous hat designer who's going to present Mrs. Spahr with a hat.
Well, I did know that, didn't I? You said that last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the pre-show will be a little luncheon engagement, is that right?
Yes, we don't know where we're going to lunch yet. We haven't asked Mrs. Spahr, but it'll be wherever she wants to lunch.
Oh, that should be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And on the program, you're going to discuss this letter, of course, and some of the things that she wrote into the show about, isn't that right?
Exactly.
So everyone, be sure to be on hand on Monday at the usual time, 3 o'clock, and hear Barbara Wells give complete coverage of the day's news for women and interview another famous person.
Goodbye, everybody.
This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.